The Mishnah is in the middle of talking about a kira, a stove, which has many blocks, which are the feet of the stove at its bottom. And at the moment, the Mishnah is in the middle of talking of a stove that has three of these blocks at the bottom. Nitl ech mehen, if one of the three blocks gets taken off, such that it's now very difficult to use the oven, to use the stove, and for it to stand straight. And as such, mida oraisa, on a Torah level, it's no longer considered to be a kli. However, because it's still possible to use the stove, albeit less conveniently, midrabanon, it can become tame. However, just like most scenarios where midrabanon something can become tame, the rabbanon were more lenient and differentiated in terms of the level of tumah that the item would have. They wanted it to be clear that this level of impurity is only midrabanon, so that in a case where the meat of karbonos or other food items that have sanctity to them become tome with this impurity, they won't be burnt. In general, if the meat of karbonos becomes tome, it needs to be burnt and destroyed. But if it only becomes tome midrabanon, then it's forbidden to destroy it. So in order to make sure that people won't end up destroying the meat of karbonos based on the tumah which is only midrabanon, they differentiated in the laws and wanted to make it very clear that it is only tome midrabanon, and therefore mitamim b'magar, these feet of the stove can only become tome via contact if the source of impurity touches them, but the enam tam ba'avri, they cannot become tome via the source of impurity only entering into the airspace. The airspace referring to the area in between those blocks. Dibur Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, Rabbi Shimon Mataher. However, Rabbi Shimon says that it cannot become tome, even midrabanon, and we're going to see Rabbi Shimon's opinion being repeated a few times. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanon avoided decreeing Tumah only on a midrabanon level for it to be half Tomei and to differentiate from the regular laws, and therefore Rabbi Shimon says that it cannot become Tomei at all, even midrabanon. Also, what happens if originally the person only made two of these blocks, the feet of the stove at the bottom, one opposite the other, mitam b'mago v'avir, the feet, the blocks which are attached, can become tome, both via touching, and if the source of impurity enters the airspace. The truth is, the Rambam's version of the Mishnah actually reads over here that they can only become tome via touching, and not if the source of impurity enters the airspace. In the same way as we learned in the previous parak with regards to two stones which are placed next to each other for the sake of balancing a pot on top of them, that it's harder for those two stones to make up a kli together than if there are three parts to the kli, and therefore, only midrabanon can it become tome, Rabbi Shimon Mataher. But Rabbi Shimon says that it cannot become tome at all. Once again, Rabbi Shimon understands that the Rabbanon wanted to avoid decreeing tumah only to half the full extent. What happens if these legs, the blocks at the bottom of the stove, were taller than three finger breadths? The additional height is totally unnecessary, and in fact, it could even make the stove less useful, because the additional space underneath the stove, between the stove and the ground, allows the heat to escape more easily. Be as it may, only Mishodesh Lamaton, from a height of three finger breadths and lower, which really in this case means higher, when the stove is placed upright, it means it's the three finger breadths closest to the bottom of the stove. They can become tome via touching and the source of impurity entering into the airspace, because that's considered to be serving the oven and a part of the oven. But Mishalosh al-Malon, the part of the legs which is further away than three finger breadths from the bottom of the stove, Mitam b'mago, can become tome if the source of impurity touches them, midrabanon, it will become tome, because at the end of the day it's part of the same leg and it's hard to see the difference. However, Veinam Tam Ba'avir, they cannot become tome via entering into the airspace, because since it's on tome midrabanon, they wanted to differentiate. The Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, Rabbi Shimon Mataher, but Rabbi Shimon says that it cannot become tome at all. What happens if Haim Shuchim and Asofa, the legs were jotting out of the edge of the stove? Which means that instead of protruding from the bottom of the stove, they came out of the side of the stove, at the bottom, but out of the side of the stove. They came out and then went downwards, and that was the shape of the legs of the stove. This can be shown in the diagram. Once again, if the legs are within three finger breadths of the other of the stove, or at least the part of the legs which are within three finger breadths of the actual stove, mitam b'maga uva'aver, they can become tome via the source of impurity touching or entering into the airspace between those legs. However, the part of part of these legs which extend beyond three finger breadths away from the stove, they can become tome if the source of impurity touches them. But they cannot become tome if the source of impurity only enters into the airspace. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. But once again, Reb Shimon says that it cannot become tome at all because the Rabbanan wanted to avoid decreeing truma not to the full extent. Mishnah Vav, this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, and the Mishnah asks, Ketzam Sharin Oisan, how would they measure what is considered to be the airspace in between these three legs? We're talking about the legs which extend out of the bottom of the side of the stove and then go downwards. The question is, what is considered to be the airspace of these legs? It's not really as if it's a container. We're viewing these three different parts, these three different legs, as the kli, but what exactly is the airspace of this kli? Says, they would place a ruler, literally, between them, or at least we would imagine to do so, and this essentially means drawing a line from, a straight line from each of the legs to the leg which is next to it. Anything which is in the area from that line outwards, even if it's under the stove still, but it's beyond that area where the line is drawn from each of the legs to the leg next to it, tahar, that would not be part of the airspace, so it would remain pure. But any of the area further inwards from where this line would be drawn, and the place, the area where the line is drawn, directly in between two of the legs, tome, that would become tome if a source of impurity entered into that area. And it's going to be shown in the final diagram for this Mishnah what exactly we're talking about at the bottom of the stove. Perkhes Mishnah Aleph, as we have seen countless times already, a unique law which applies specifically to earthenware kelim is that even if the source of impurity only enters into the airspace of the kli without touching it, it will nevertheless make the entire kli tomei. And likewise, once the kli has become tomei, if food or liquids enter into the airspace of that earthenware kli, the earthenware utensil, even without touching it, then the food or liquid will become tomei. The reason why I say food or liquid is because the source of impurity would have made the oven into a rishon l'tuma, which means that it's one step removed from the original source of tuma, the av hatuma, and only food or drink can become tomei by having contact or by being within the airspace of a rishon l'tuma. People and other kelim, other utensils, can only become tome if they themselves touch the avatuma, or they have contact, or maybe they carry the avatuma, but they cannot become tome from a rishon l'tuma. Only food and drink, and that's why a tome oven, which is always going to be a rishon l'tuma, can only make food or drink tome. And the food or drink would have the status of a sheni l'tuma, which means that it is two steps removed from the original avatuma, the original source of impurity. The discussion of most of this perek is how exactly we split up or consider to be part of the same airspace of a kli. For example, the perek begins, Hatanur, a oven which is cone-shaped, it's narrower towards the top, Shechatzotzo ibn Asorim, that somebody set up a partition, a mechitza, made out of boards, or with a kind of curtain material, which is assumingly not going to burn. And he sets this up, going up right from the top of the oven all the way until the bottom. The question is, do we now look at the two halves of the oven as being two separate, distinct parts, which have their own airspace? Or perhaps, no, it's all still considered to be part of the same airspace of the same kli. The ramification, of course, being if a source of impurity enters into the airspace of one half, will any food which enters into the other half also become tomei? Nimtza, sheretz makom echad. If a sheretz is found in one place, in one of those halves, a sheretz is one of the eight small animals, like a hedgehog, weasel, and another six animals that the Torah explicitly lists as being a source of impurity once they die. And a sheretz is often used in the Mishnah as the classic example of a source of impurity, an av hatuma. So if this sheretz is found in one of the halves of the oven, hakol tomei, the entire oven will become tomei, and if food even enters into the other half, it will still be tomei. The Mishnah is showing us that this partition is not effective in splitting up the oven into two separate parts. And the truth is, this is an interesting point, because we've seen a few examples already of kelim which are split into different parts. For example, a box which was used to contain different spices, and we saw in the Mishnah that each section of that box is considered to be its own kli. We even split the walls of each section into two different halves, so why is this case different? One simple answer is based on a distinction that we've also seen a number of times in the Masechta, between a kli that was originally made in a particular fashion to a kli which later on changes its form. And so to over here, if something was originally made as being different sections, so they're considered to be a distinct kli, each one of the sections by themselves, but over here that the kli was created as being one large kli with one section, simply by placing something in the middle, one does not change the status of that kli to being two different distinct parts. Now the next few Mishnayos talk about a concept called Toich Toichai, the language that the Torah uses to explain this law that a source of impurity which enters even into the airspace of the earthenware kli will make the kli Tomei. And likewise, if the food enters into the airspace, the food will become Tomei. The language of the Pasuk is Kol Asher B'Soicha Yitmar. Anything which is inside of it, within the airspace, will become Tomei. And it is learned from there that if there is a kli which itself is found inside of an earthenware utensil, and there is food inside that kli, the food will not become Tomei, even though the earthenware utensil in which the kli was placed is Tomei, because the food is not viewed as being in the airspace of the earthenware utensil, but rather in its own airspace which is contained within this kli. And this kli is not necessarily earthenware itself. It could be anything, even made out of wood or a different material, as long as it has the status of a kli, so it itself has some significance, and because of that, the inside of that kli is considered to be its own airspace. So if food is inside of that kli, and the kli itself is placed inside a tomei earthenware utensil, the food will not become tomei, and this is known as toich toicho, which means that it is inside something that is inside the earthenware utensil. And in that case, it's learned from the Pesukim that it will not become tomei. Now the example which the Mishnah will usually use to describe scenarios of toich toichai is where the earthenware utensil is an oven. And then if the kli is lowered down into the oven and there is food inside the kli, then there will be a discussion as to whether this is included in toich toichai. Be as it may, it's very important to note that if we have, for example, a kli which doesn't have a lid on it, let's say it's a cup, and inside that cup is some food, and the cup is lowered down into the oven. As soon as the cup is fully lowered down into the oven, such that part of the airspace of the oven is above the cup, in that case, we don't look at the airspace of the cup as being separate from the airspace of the oven. Rather, the two airspaces combine together. It's considered to all be part of the same open area, and because the cup doesn't have a lid on it, it will all combine, and in that case, the food will become tomei. Only if the cup was lowered down into the oven, either not fully or just about, it entered into the airspace of the oven, but the cup ends at exactly where the oven's airspace and top ends. So only then would it protect the food from becoming tomei, because it would be its own distinct airspace. The point of this Mishnah is to show that the entire idea of toich toicha is only if the food is placed inside of a kli. Because as we explained, the kli has a certain level of significance that we're able to look at the inside of that kli as being a airspace and an entity in and of itself. So the food is considered to be toich toicha, it's inside something which is inside the earthenware utensil. However, if the thing in which the food is placed does not have the status of a kli, then it's not considered to be significant enough to have its own status, its own entity, and in that case the food is just considered to be inside the earthenware utensil and it would become tomei. Kaveres pechuso fekuko bekash, a basket whose edge has broken off and it lost its status of a kli and it was filled up with straw. The area where there was a hole in the basket was filled up with straw. That is not a sufficient repair of the kli, and the basket still does not have the status of a kli. Umshulsheles la'avir hatanur, and the basket is lowered down into the airspace of the oven, but not fully. So if this was considered to be a kli, there would be the concept of toich toichai, because the airspace would not combine. However, because the basket is not considered to be a kli, hasheret besoicha, if there is a source of impurity, this dead small animal, if that is inside of the oven, of the kaveres, of the basket, hatanur tomei, the oven would become tomei. Hasheret batanur, if the source of impurity, this small dead animal, is found in the oven, then oichnash besoicha tomeim, any food which is inside of the basket would become tomei, because toich toich doesn't apply, since the basket is not a kli. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and Tahir. Rabbi Eliezer says that it would be Tahir in this case, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, the fact that the straw was placed on the hole does give back the status of a kli, and therefore there is room for this idea of toich toichoi. And indeed, Rabbi Eliezer is about to bring a proof. Rabbi Eliezer said, the law is that a dead body, which is considered to be an aviyah v'isatumah, it's the highest level of impurity, and anything or any person who is found under the same roof as a dead body would become tomei. That having been said, if there is a significant enough partition at some point in under that same roof, the details of this are discussed in Maseches Aharos, then it would prevent the tumah from spreading to the rest of that room. And the Mishnah in Aharos teaches that this exact example of a basket which had a hole in and the hole was filled up with straw, that is considered to be a significant enough partition to prevent the tumah from spreading. So Rabbi Eliezer says, if this is sufficient enough to save something from becoming tomei from a dead body, which is a very severe level of tumah, then should it not be sufficient to save something from becoming tomei from a earthenware utensil, which is a much lower level of tumah? The earthenware utensil, the oven, is only a rishon l'tumah; it's one step removed from the source of impurity. Omruloi, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Eliezer that it's very different, because over there, in order for something to be considered a partition, to split off the room into different parts, it doesn't necessarily need to be a kli. Rather, there's a halachic concept of a mechitza, something, a partition, which splits two different parts of a room, two different areas into two. And if you can't prove from there to the law of toich toicho, which requires a kli, if the partition saves something from becoming tomei from a dead body which is severe, that's because Shekein Cholkim Aholim, there's a concept of splitting up a room into different parts. But Tatzluch L'Cheres Akal, can you prove from there that it should also save something from becoming tomei from a earthenware utensil which has a low level of tumah, but Shekein Cholkim L'Cheres? There's no concept of splitting up a earthenware utensil into two, like we learned in the first part of the Mishnah, and the only way to get round it is via the concept of Toich Toichoi, and for that, a kli is required, and according to the Chachomim, this broken basket, even once it has been filled with straw, is not considered to be a kli. Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah shows a number of cases where toich toichoi would apply. Hoysa shalema, if the basket was complete, it wasn't broken, v'chein akupa, and similarly a box, v'chein achimes, or a flask. All of these, although they might be made up of different materials, they all have the status of a kli, and therefore, if they are placed inside the oven, and Hasheretz Besoicha, there is a source of impurity, a small dead animal inside of those utensils, then Hatanur Tahar, the oven would remain pure. It's not considered to be that a Sheretz was in the airspace of the oven, and likewise Hasheretz Batanur, if there was a Sheretz in the airspace of the oven, Oichlan Sheb Besoicha Tahirin, food which is inside of one of these Kalim, would remain pure. Nikvu, what happens if any of these Kalim, these utensils, get a hole in them? So we go back to what we learned in the third perek as to how large the hole needs to be in order to consider this to be a broken kli and to take away the halachic status of a kli. So he'osu l'oichlin, if it was a kli that was made for holding food, then shuron b'zesim, the size of the hole needs to be at least that which would allow olives to go through the hole, and then the kli is considered to be useless. He'osu l'mashkin, if the purpose of the kli was to hold liquids, then shuron b'mashkin, the minimum size of the hole, would need to be a hole that allows liquids to come through that hole. And also lekach lekach, if it's a utensil which is used for both holding food or liquid, then matilin oisel chumroi, we give it the more strict measurement, bekoinis mashke, and it would lose its status of a kli, and thereby lose its ability to save the food from which is inside of it from becoming tomei, as soon as it has a hole which allows liquid to come through.